Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the matchup tonight for the Nashville Predators against the Chicago Blackhawks. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Preds TV analyst Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. See, Mace, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
I'm doing great. First day back, I get to go on the broadcast. I'm jacked up. Just had our production meeting.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
See, Mace, back in there tonight, baby. We're looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's been a while, so looking forward to that for sure.
So, see, Mace, obviously a good start against Columbus. Start the season 2-0. I thought they played really well. Probably their best game of the season against Carolina, even though they lost. And then things did not go well in Dallas over the weekend, particularly on special teams. Let's start with the penalty kill. When you have performances as bad as they were on penalty kill in the last couple of games, how do you balance, you know, trying not to overreact and freak out based on a two-game sample size while also recognizing that clearly you've got some issues that you've got to fix in that area? Like, what's that balance like as a player and for this coaching staff?
Well, you know, it's obviously a big concern. This is an issue that I feel on both sides, penalty kill and power play, that's kind of really plagued this team the last couple of years. And that was their biggest test. You're going against a team that, you know, was obviously Stanley Cup finalist last year. If you want to look at a team in the Western Conference that, in quotations, plays the right way, you know, really hard to play against, doesn't give up much in terms of scoring chances, and really excels on the power play and special teams and capitalizes like that. That's how they win games. That team, that's exactly what they do. And the Preds got exposed. So, again, lots of new personnel. You can't panic. I was a little concerned the second game because, you know, if the first game happens, they give up 5-for-8. You know, a couple of those were lucky off skates and this and that. And, you know, Dallas was executing their first game of the year, all these different types of things. But it happened again. You know, the next night, there's those seams there. They're off right now in their timing. And again, when you're in a penalty kill, you can't overlook the importance of chemistry and timing because you have to time it together. All four guys out there, or three guys who's ever on the ice, if it's a 5-on-3, you have to be in sync because one guy over-challenges, one guy over-commits, one guy, you know, gets out of position. Well, that's a scoring lane. You know, that opens that lane. So they're out of sync right now, and you know, it's not time to panic. That was bad. You know, they were both nights were not good. But it's a time to, you know, you really have to address this in a big way. I mean, it's two games, but it wasn't pretty, and that it cost them the games. That, you know, Dallas won because of their power play. Preds lost because of their penalty kill, however you want to look at it. So it's a concern for me.
So over the long haul, CMS, like you said, I mean, two bad games, you know, it's five games in, but over the long haul, what are you more concerned about, the penalty kill or the power play?
I'm concerned about the penalty kill. The power play, like, you know, this is the one thing I guess we get in with the analytics now is if the power play is not creating chances and they're one and dones and they're not, then I'm like, and you know, there's no traffic, all those types of things, then I'm like, all right, guys, show me something here at least if you're not going to score, because you're going to go dry. But if you're a player or you're a power play unit and you're getting chances, you're getting opportunities, you're getting traffic to that, I feel like they have those elements. I like the personnel on their power play. This last game wasn't as good, but the game before against Dallas, I thought they really did generate a lot of offense and chances. But it didn't go in. At the end of the day, though, you know, these guys get paid to score. You get paid to, you know, Dallas had the same amount of chances, if you want to say, and they put the puck away. I'm not as concerned on the power play right now, but the penalty kill to me, it's an area that needs to be cleaned up in a hurry because you're playing a team tonight. That's how they win. I think they've scored like 6 power play goals in 6 games or whatever it is. They've got a young team. They got Patrick Kane. They're going to try to do their best with the mix of new guys they have. And, you know, they lost Jonathan Toews, Kirby Dach's out, all that type of stuff. They're going to live on the power play. This is a team that can beat you up on the power play. And you think, well, we should be Chicago. Look at their roster. It doesn't matter. If you have a power play, you always have a fighter's chance. So they got to clean that up in a hurry.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on with us, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. See, Mace, Mikael Granlund back in the fold on Friday night, gets the goal on Sunday, and obviously played much better under John Hines after the coaching change last year. What sort of a weapon can he be for this group this year? How important do you think it was to get him back into the fold?
I just love, you know, I think we all do, right? We all like those little guys that, you know, just work their butts off. And I remember there was a sequence, I think, in that first Dallas game where he was going to the front of the net and he'd get, you know, he got knocked down and he'd get cross-checked, get back up, and he would just keep going there. It was like his feet never stopped moving. And the guy plays with heart. He plays an inspirational brand of hockey. And he looked like, you know, he didn't look like he's been out for, I mean, I know he skated before, but he's in the protocol coming back from over to North America. But this is a guy that's one of those guys. He's a leader by example every single night. And I think that's the kind of identity, you know, that John Hines wants this team to have. So I think he epitomizes everything that this team wants to be. So I'm really, really happy with Granlund. It was, you know, better than could have been expected in his first two games. I think we need just a few more guys to jump on board.
Philip Forsberg obviously has been a streaky player his whole career. He gets going, and it looks like he's one of the, you know, top, elite forwards out there. And then he has droughts as well. C-Mace, what we're seeing right now, do you think he has a chance to sustain this more and be more consistent this year?
I do. I think that, you know, when you look at Philip Forsberg, he's been around for, you know, he's still only 25 years old. He's still a young man. And I think with the way that John Hines has come in and tried to recalibrate his mindset, I know last year he had, you know, a lot of discussions with him about, look, I know you're a goal scorer. I know, you know, you want to get points. He's like, but try not to put so much pressure and weight on and in stock into that. If you play the right way and you do the little things and you work on the other parts of your game, you will get the points. You will score goals. You'll get more chances. You won't give up as many against. And it just takes that weight off of you. You know, if you have a game where you don't score, if you have two games where you don't score, if you continue to do the little things and play the right way on the other side of the puck, it'll come, and you'll be more consistent in your game. So those big dips and those big, you know, highs, hopefully those still there, but the dips won't go as low and as long. So I think it just, if you play that way, it just allows you to be more consistent. And I think he's starting to figure that out. And I think that when John Hines took over near the end of the shutdown, I think you could really see that in his game. And I've seen it so far early in the season here.
C-Mace, what have you seen so far out of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene? Look, I mean, we all know it heading into this season. They're going to be a big talking point, and the success or failure of this team largely is going to lie on those two as well and the production that they have. I think they played pretty well for the most part, but the production right now just not there. Combined 4 assists through the first 5 games. What do you see, and how concerning is it that the production hasn't quite gotten there yet with those two?
Yeah, I agree with exactly what you said, to be honest. That's exactly the way I see it. Again, when I'm looking at players like that, I'm looking at, you know, not everyone's going to score at the same time. So you got Victor Arvidsson, great production from him. Philip Forsberg, they're with Johansson. Johansson has a lot to do with that as well. Matt Duchene, I really feel like he's got his game going. He's getting a ton of chances right now. And again, when you're a player like that, if he's not getting chances, then I'm concerned. But at the end of the day, these, you know, they've got the production has to be there. You need production from these guys. These are why you pay them. What you pay them is to get goals, not to play good and get chances and, you know, that type of thing. It's to get goals. You're there on the team for a certain way, and they know that, or set up goals, whatever the case may be. So I'm not too concerned at all right now with those guys. But eventually, you know, every given night, any given night, you need, you know, different guys to contribute. And those guys are the ones that you look to contribute on a more regular basis. And it's been there in little pockets. And, you know, I think for Matt Duchene, especially coming in last year, got off to that great start and then had a kind of an up and down, you know, rest of the way. He's a guy looking to have a huge bounce back here. And he has played really well. I feel like, you know, he's got a lot of jump in his game and a lot of good things that he's doing out there. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to see pucks in the back of the net.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. C-Mace, appreciate you taking time to join us. Looking forward to seeing you on the broadcast tonight.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it as always. Take care.
Absolutely. Right, Chris Mason, he'll be on the call tonight for the Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Look ahead to the matchup for the Preds against the Blackhawks. What do we want to see? What are two keys to victory for the Nashville Predators tonight? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.